So first of all, I want to thank you for cards and Facebook and calls. As most of you know, my mother passed away. It was kind of unexpected, but it really worked out great. It was truly a blessing in my heart. Even when you say, well, you know, I'm sorry to hear for your loss, there's a sense of joy over the whole thing because I had three visits with her, and on the final visit, which I didn't know was going to be the final visit, I realized that part of her so-called dementia was she couldn't hear. So, you know, when you know that I'm hearing impaired, most of you know I'm a little deaf, I get that naturally, okay? And and so on the final visit, I talked to her a lot louder, and finally I was able to get in just as we went, and I said, Mom, and I looked at her straight in the eyes, and she looked at me, and I said, I love you. And she goes, I love you too. And it was so clear, so great. And that was our final exchange. And then it was like a day and a half later, we got a call, and she was gone. And we were planning for 6 months to 5 years. We didn't know how long she was going to live because she wasn't that bad off. She'd have hip surgery because she had fallen and broken her hip, but it was neat because she went peacefully to her Savior, whom she loved deeply. You know, and I've talked about how I think really my passion for Christ came from her. Both of my parents were Christians, but she was very passionate. In fact, we had to laugh because during the funeral, a lot of her church members were there, and the pastor was there, and he said he'd be preaching, and she'd get so riled up, she'd walk to the back and start dancing because that's all she knew to do. And so that was she was quite a gal. But it was neat because we came, we had our time, we had she passed. We had a time to collect together on Sunday afternoon. We did a memorial service and buried her on Tuesday and came home on Thursday. So it was one of those things that I just had to sit and praise. And so you don't have to feel bad for me. Because I'm so thrilled. I know where she is. And we're even going to talk about that today because she knew her Savior. And it's one thing if you have a, excuse me, if you have a family member that you don't know where they stand. Well, you couldn't be with my mom for 1 minute and not know where she stood because she was an evangelist too. And in fact, it was really cute because we talked about one little gal that was the next door neighbor of mine when we were growing up, and my sister discovered her at her church, and she said, how long have you been coming to this church? She goes, well, like 23 years. She said, well, when did you get saved? And she said, well, your mom led me to Christ way back and discipled me. And we didn't even know that, you know, and so it's just kind of neat, you know. And so we were able to, Deb and I got down there and cleaned up the house and got everything ready, and we had the whole family down to see that. Can you go to the next slide? Yeah, there you go. And so we had that was the backyard, and what you're looking at, it just looks white, but it's all water. And she just has a 180-degree view of the sound, Puget Sound, and so we were able to take pictures, get together with the family, and really have a good time. In her backyard, and you know, I found myself again thinking about death. We've had a few deaths here this year in the church, and then with the loss of my mother, it even made me think more, or even the pending loss of her. And I'm sorry, I already had some more. Thank you for my friend. The question that I've experienced through my early years working with the elderly and counseling, because when I went to college, I always worked in hospitals. I thought I would do pre-med, ended up not doing that, but I got really involved in hospital work, really worked a lot of convalescent homes and aged homes. And those that were experiencing terminal illness or were ready to die, so many times when they didn't quite have that faith, they would ask me the question, what happens now? What's the next step? And, you know, I thought it leads me into today's subject because we're going to talk about the purchased possession in Ephesians 1:14. And let's just review this, and we're going to go through this. And I want to state this. Today I'm going to talk about that body change. Next week, I'm going to talk about what happens when we immediately die, what happens during that time, because I got so many questions last night about, boy, I'm glad you said this, but what happens when we just die? So I'll talk about that next week, but I really need to talk about the whole issue of but we're going to talk about the purchase possession. So let me start with 13, and we've gone over that and studied that a little bit. In him you also trusted. Have you all trusted? Okay. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were, past tense, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee or the down payment of our inheritance until or till the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory, because it's all about him and what he did. And Paul gives us this glimpse of what's next. The coming attraction on that day when he returns. When he refers to it again in Ephesians 4:30 as well, and he names these sins, and he talks about not getting angry and staying angry and stealing and laziness and not working for your food and using bad language and bitterness and wrath and quarreling and evil speaking, malice, planned revenge. All those things grieve the Holy Spirit. And I think we've talked about this in the past, that I think that the problem is it isn't so much the sin that grieves him, because God's been looking at that for a lot of thousands of years. It's the consequences in our life that take place as a result of that sin and why it's a sin. And so he says this in 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for or unto or till the day of redemption. What great assurance that we have. What great assurance it was for me at that funeral of my mother. And I know that she was sealed to the day of redemption, so I can get up with full assurance and say, I know where my mom is. And we can say the same thing, can't we? We know where we're going to go if we have faith in God's word. And we discussed before that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's the down payment. But what does all that mean? What is it until the redemption or the buyback of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? Well, let me put it simply so it's real clear before we go any farther. We wait for a body change. All right? That's what it's about. That's the purchased possession. The possession is our body. We groan within ourselves because our body's not right. It doesn't fit with our soul and spirit. And I've said this many times before as Christians, that once we become a Christian, we're almost schizophrenic because we have this body who's pulling us into sin. We have this soul and spirit that's wanting not to do that. And we have this continual tug of war back and forth as a Christian that we didn't have before we were a Christian. Why? Because we just went with the body before we were Christian. But once we become a Christian, we have this struggle. And so I thought about it, and I thought, okay, maybe the way to illustrate this is the other day, or actually it was yesterday, I did a marriage. And so I got my suit and brought it in so I could change and look good. And I found an old suit in the closet. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to bring that along. And maybe if that works, I'll just leave that here, you know, trying to be efficient. So I put on the coat, man, it fit like a glove. I put on the pants and I could not get it to button. And that was because I was sickly and skinny then, and now I'm healthy. Oh, you're not buying that, huh? Okay. All right. Anyhow, it didn't fit, and I thought, you know, that's what it is when we become a Christian. All of a sudden, our body does not fit with the rest of us, our mind, and it's this struggle that goes on, and we have this new and renewed mind as we read the Word and we grow, and in chapter 4, we're going to learn about this renewing of our mind at a later date, but we have this war with our flesh. And according to God's word, we wait in hope for the day that that purchased possession is changed and we have that new body. And it all will fit together in such a great way that all of it will be whole and we will become whole. We will become complete. Like God says that we're complete now. But think of the completeness then. And so, you know, as I thought about this, I thought, okay, you know, back when I became a Christian, I moved from California to Seattle, and I was with my parents for 9 months in the house I was talking about, and I stayed there till I could go off to Bible college. That's where I met Debbie, and history goes on. But I was over there, and all week we had been studying in Sunday school, and I had a friend that was a good theologian. He and I were talking about the rapture, what would happen during the rapture. And so he was over at my house, and we were sitting in some chairs, and we were praying out loud with our eyes open, looking at the... Yes, you could pray with your eyes open. Okay. And we were praying with our eyes open and looking out at the water, and... I remember that all of a sudden the sky started getting dark, and we kept the lights out. Have you ever done that before? That's so much fun to do that. And we just kind of prayed in the dark, and we were going, Lord, help us to understand what the rapture is and what it would be like. And then all of a sudden, these shafts of light come down and hit the water. And we're thinking, it's here, it's here. We were just talking about it, and it's here. And we started jumping up and down and whooping and hollering. And have you ever gotten that thing where, you know, like when you're watching a Bronco game and they actually do something good, and you start jumping up and down, and you just, you know, you're going and you're trying to out-jump the other person. Well, Ron and I were jumping up and down and whooping like maniacs, and then we realized it was the Northern Lights. And I don't know why I thought I always kind of wondered what my reaction would be on that day when we hear the archangel yell and the trumpet sound. What would our thoughts be? Well, I know I'm going to be jumping up and down again because I proved it, because we thought that was the rapture. And I looked at that and I thought, man, the rapture is the event that encompasses our faith, but it's our hope. The Bible says it's our hope. That we were saved in that hope. And it's an event that says, I have trusted all my life as a Christian, and this event is going to happen, and then here it is. Here it is. And I am totally believing, and it's because it's not hard for God. In Acts chapter 2, when the disciples spoke, everybody heard in their own language, right? So what's going to happen when the archangel yells our name? We're all going to hear it. So I think when we hear that archangel, it isn't going to be, hey! I don't think it's going to be that. It's going to be, Steve, Ron, whatever our names are, we're going to hear our name called, and we're going to go up. And so that's our hope as Christians. It's the point that we long for in our life, whether you know it or not. As a Christian, you have that inner longing that you... that something needs to change. And I want to read it out of Romans chapter 8, where Paul says this, starting with verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The whole creation is waiting for that moment. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. What that means is we who believed in faith before Christ comes back, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our what? Body. Now, I've talked about the groan before, and you've heard me talk about it because it's always on the surface, but you don't know it's there till you bend over and pick something up, and you go, right? And somebody goes, oh, is your back hurting? And you go, no. Why are you groaning? Well, I don't know. Well, it's because there's a groan within our spirit that we need that body changed, and we want that body changed. And so Paul goes on and says, for we were saved in this hope, the redemption of our body. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance or patience. You know, the very reason that we hate futility is because it's built into our soul, and we groan for that day of redemption, and everything in this life seems to kind of go wrong. I don't know if you've noticed that yet. And we long for the change. We long for the glory of Christ. that our bodies will be like His. As Paul says, we eagerly wait for that very moment when Christ redeems our body. The day we cash in this old, weak body that's misfit, that's not new, is unchanged, and it'll become new and changed and completely strong, and it will totally fit. And for the first time in our lives, we will feel real freedom in Christ. And here's how Paul describes it in Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Listen to that. Looking for the blessed hope, that's our hope, and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning as we sit and we meditate on His return and the change of our bodies, Paul says that our very soul groans. And the word means to complain strongly, to grumble. It even means to bewail as mourners at a funeral for that day, that moment. And I stop, and you guys, hear, I need you to hear this. There's a lot of times when we're griping and we don't even mean it, right? Have you ever found yourself doing that? And you're going, oh, yeah, those neighbors, you know. And all of a sudden you're thinking, why am I doing that? I don't care about the name, you know. That's because we're groaning inside. And it comes out in all the wrong ways, right? And so we have to take a look at it and realize, wait a minute, this is a groan inside of me because I am waiting for that day to change, and you are waiting for that day to change. And so we have almost like a ticked off attitude that we have to keep bringing back into check as a result of that, because we are imprisoned in this weak body and we can't wait for the freedom, for that moment when mortal turns to immortal, incorruptible turns to incorruptible. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when our hope is realized. And it won't be the Northern Lights. It won't be someone scared. And I don't know how you are and your family, but my parents started going to church when I was about 6 years old. And there was a couple times where I was in the house and they probably went outside or went somewhere and I didn't know it. And I'd go, hey, Mom. And I wouldn't hear anything. Dad, wouldn't hear anything. Sherry, Julie, didn't hear anything. Pretty soon I think, oh no, the rapture happened and I didn't get to go. Am I the only one? No? Yeah, a few of you have done that? Yeah, and so as a kid, and it was because in my day, when I would listen to the radio, it was all fire and brimstone, so you were on the edge of hell no matter where you lived. At that point, no matter how saved you were right on that precipice, you know, and so I always thought, man, what if the rapture comes and I don't go, and all that kind of thing, and it's because I didn't have the assurance in my heart. We have the assurance. We don't have to wonder. We're going to hear our name. Our faith and our hope is going to become a reality, and we're going to get swept off this earth. And you know, I want going up as we go up to heaven. I'd love to be able to yell out just like Christ did, and just say, you know what, it's finished. This old earth is finished. It's over. We can get to taste real love and a real completion in Christ. No more temptations. We will no longer foolishly think that somehow there's something that's going to make us feel whole in this life. You know, buy our car or our motorcycle or our home or whatever. And it doesn't seem to do it, and we keep tripping for that. We're going to be whole. We're not going to try to prove ourselves anymore by the job we have or our friends or how much money we have or anything else that mistakenly replaces Christ. I mean, think about this for a minute. No more politicians. No more elections. We'll know who the Savior is. Money? We may get up there for quite a few thousand years and go, now, money, what was that? Flat tire. Do you remember? Didn't we know what a flat tire was at one point? Going to be able to say to the loved ones that we lost, like I can go to my dad and say, Dad, I love you, and hug him. Mom, because she's so full of energy, she can show me around heaven, because I'm sure she's been all the way around heaven already in just a few days. All the wrongs will be made right. We won't have to drive anymore on long trips. We'll just be able to float through the universe or wherever, whatever God has planned for us. We can jog up there and our knees won't swell. We will have a purpose, an eternal purpose that God gives us for eternity. And we will lose our frustrating friend, futility, who keeps drawing us back to God. When all those things we think are going to replace God all fall apart and it draws us right back to our Savior here, we won't need that anymore because we can see Him in the eyes, all because our faith and hope become a reality. You know, the Old Testament people are just the same way as the New Testament people, just like we are. Their faith did not become a reality until they passed. Our faith probably will not become a reality until we pass, unless the rapture comes. But the Hebrews author put it real well. He said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. You, my friend, and I are pilgrims on this earth. We're foreigners. We don't belong here. This was not meant for us. And just like the Old Testament saints, they believed it by faith and they had hope and they died. And the scripture goes on to say that God's prepared for them and He's prepared for us. And I think this morning we need to confess to ourselves that we are strangers and pilgrims. We need to quit investing in this life like this life is going to fill up our life and make us all happy. It's not our home. It's not what we are created to do in Christ. And you know what? You better start enjoying the aches and pains because you're not going to have them anymore. This is the only place you're going to experience it. You better realize that Christ is going to redeem us and we are going to go away and we're going to be whole. And you better enjoy the flu. When you lay in bed and you're laying there and you know how that real miserable feeling you get when you have the flu and you're sitting miserable, you might thank God for that. Because this is the last time you're going to feel that. Because when you get to heaven, there is no flu. And you better enjoy getting older. And you better appreciate the fact that these bodies are wearing out and they're not going to be what they should be because you're going to get a whole new one that works. I don't know how many times people say, boy, I sure like to trade my body in for another one. Well, we are. Isn't that going to be great? I can't wait to see our hope come to reality. The question is, are you waiting too? Are you putting too much into this world and realizing that this world is not our home? Let me just finish with Colossians, because this is what Paul says our mindset should be. If you then be risen with Christ, look up, search out, it means, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died the moment you put your faith and trust in Christ. And your life is hidden in Christ with God, and the verb there is so rich. What it means is that it happened in the past, and it still has present consequences. It still is in effect. And so when he says, your life is hidden, it was hidden in the past in Christ, and it is still right now hidden in Christ. Isn't that cool? English doesn't have that kind of a verb. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's what we have to look forward to. That's the purchased possession. When He raises up our body. Can you feel yourself groan for that today? Can you feel inside that sense of things aren't right? That it's not quite right? We take it out on so many things. And my friend, it isn't right. Let's just settle that in our mind and realize that until that day, it's not going to be right. It's not meant to be right. And it draws us to Christ because we have a down payment. That's the Holy Spirit. We have a Holy Spirit that's the Spirit of promise. We have a Holy Spirit that sealed us, and our hope is fulfilled the moment that archangel yells and the trumpet sounds. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. Lord, our soul wants to whoop and holler when we think about that day in which everything is made right. Everything works. And we're complete in you in the real way. I know Colossians says that we are complete in him now. And we are. But we know that day when our body changes from the mortal to the immortal, from the corruptible to the incorruptible, that the sting is gone. And we have life with you in a new body. And just like your son Jesus Christ, people may not even recognize us because we'll look so good. It will feel so good. And so, Lord, we wait for that day when you come. And you know, it's these things like death and those kind of things and hard events in our life that draw us back to you, Lord. And we appreciate that because you draw us back over and over and over and teach us over and over that nothing can replace what you have prepared for us. While our heads are still bowed, you may be here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you even came seeking that this morning. And let me just give you a couple verses to think about. If I'm talking to you today, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But the verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The free gift is eternal life. And he says in Romans 10:9, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so what he's saying is that if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe that he raised from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to pray a little prayer. And if I'm talking to you today, you just pray that along with me, knowing that you're asking God to come into your life and change your life. And the prayer goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me my sin and come into my heart and life. And be the Lord of my life. Lord, I believe you raised from the dead, just as that verse said. So come into my life. Change my life. And may I live for you until that day. While our heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, raise your hand up, put it back down. Let God know, thank you. Anybody else, that you mean business with God today. Father, we come this morning just giving you the glory. I thank you that we can get together in fellowship and talk about these things. And Lord, as we go through the week, things get so disturbed and messed up. And Lord, I just pray that you will keep drawing us back to you. Keep drawing us back to our hope and our faith, that we might abide in you. And Lord, that you might produce out of us those things that you want to see happen. And may we serve you to that day that you blow that trumpet and that archangel yells. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.